Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 42, verse 1 through 4 and 7 through 9. Verse 1 through 4 and 7 through 9. I believe, and I want to talk to you this morning. I want to move through this morning, dealing with an issue that can arise within our hearts because is there anybody perfect here this morning? I'll put my hand down. I want you to raise your hand, though, if you are perfect. And so because of our imperfection, there are things that can, there are ideas that can move into our minds that are not healthy. Amen? And I find myself, and I don't need a devil to tell me that I'm doing wrong. Amen? I don't need a devil to tell me, to push me down, to throw me aside. Many times I do that all on my own. Now, can I get some amens? Anybody raise their hand now? And so it is very much, as you look around, you see a lot of hands go up there when they say, I'm harder on myself than anybody else is. I don't need anybody else to be hard on me because I take care of that all by myself. I want you to understand something this morning that all of us need to be reminded of at one point in time or another. I know that I have to be reminded of it, and that is this. God loves us, and He cares for us, and there is nothing that can separate us from the love of Jesus Christ. So I want us right now, I want you to put your one hand in the air. If you've got your Bible in the other hand, I want you to put one hand in the air. And from this point right here, I just want you to say, God, right now I speak this, and I know it within every fiber of my being, that nothing can separate us from the love of Jesus Christ. There is nothing that can separate us from the love of Jesus Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. Somebody shout amen if you believe that. Why is this essential this morning? Because I believe that our future can be hindered because of how we limit ourselves in our potential and in our future moving towards what is before us. Amen? And because we limit ourselves within what we have done, we can stop ourselves from getting what God wants us to have. Amen? And so Isaiah chapter 42, verse 1 through 4 and 7 through 9 reads, Behold, my servant whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he has set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Skipping unto verse number 7. It is the promise, or it is the mission of God that we find that he begins to touch on in Isaiah 42 and brings into a culmination in later in the book of Isaiah. But in verse number 7, he begins to say it, to open the blind eyes. In other words, even though an eye is not operating the way that it should, I'm not going to discard that eye. I'm not going to pass it by. But what my purpose and my mission is to open the blinded eyes and to bring out of the prisoners, bring out the prisoners from the prison and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. In other words, I'm not giving up on something just because it's not perfect. Amen. Can anybody shout amen right there? I am thankful this morning that I serve a God that He says, I'll open up your blinded eyes. I'll unstop your deaf ears. I'll bring out you that are in the prisons. I'll open up those that are in darkness. Why? Because I don't discount and I don't leave things along the wayside that are not perfect. Amen? I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. I want to preach to you from this title this morning: Damaged but not destroyed. I want you to lift up your hands right now, because I believe that we are sitting in a very important place within this time and season. All that is behind us, there is going to be an influx that we begin to come into. Once school begins to start, we understand it, we know it. There's changes that begin to happen. There's things that begin to happen that have been in the making and within the mix. And God needs you to begin to perform what He is setting up into place right now. God, we come before you right now. We ask that you would bless this. We ask that you would anoint this by your hand. And in your name do we pray, God. I pray that every chain and every shackle that is present within this house this morning would be done away with in the name of Jesus Christ, and that there would be an edification, a building up within every heart and within every soul this morning. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, and everybody shout amen. Everybody shout amen. Clap your hands unto the Lord as you are being seated this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Brother Pugh, for allowing me to be here so very much. Thank you, Sister Melanie, so very much for allowing us to be here. My wife sends her regards. She's in stress mode right now, getting everything worked out. So no clothes fit, and everything has to be bought new. Even if some things would fit, they still have to be bought new. Some of you guys understand what I'm talking about. Husbands, you know, it just won't work. So she sends her regards, and we wish that she could be here, but she sends her blessings to us, and she is praying right now for the service as well. There is a golf course on Hilton Head Island in South Carolina that was hit by a hurricane a few years ago. And in the surveying of the damage, the reporter begins to assess what has taken place. And as he looks around, he sees that there is a great turmoil that has taken place upon the golf course. And as he's going around, we begin to see the views of utter destruction and chaos that had been unleashed upon this specific area. And as they go around, you see greens that had been decimated, and the fairways that had been utterly destroyed and ripped up, and there was washy places where the fairways had washed out, and places where the storm and the damage had completely unleashed and gone crazy up on the golf course. As you looked around, it did not even hold a semblance of what it could be. And as you look around, in my mind, I begin to say the damage, and I begin to look at the things that had happened within that place. And in my mind, I said that they might as well shut it down, that they might as well just close it down and sell it for some other development or build houses on it, because all of its use is done. It is no longer able to exist within the operation of which it once was. And as I was thinking this thought and going through this within my own mind, the reporter finished up by saying at the very end of it, he said, damaged but not destroyed. We feel like this place will turn around and be ready for the next tournament in the coming year. When he said those words, it hit within my heart, because here is a man that has not known restoration or revival, a man that probably has never experienced what you and I have experienced, but yet within the faith that he held, within a common golf course, and within the abilities of just common people, he began to feel and see the possibility of that which was broken being turned around and brought out in a greater manner. The moment he said that, it hit with my heart, because many of us have become damaged goods at some point within our life. I don't know about you this morning, but I know about my own life, and I know about my own struggles, and I know about the things that have happened within my own life that have caused me to carry around a thought process that I am damaged goods. Folks, you hear me this morning. It is natural within our minds to think that we are less than what we are. It is natural that when we fail and we fall short of the glory of God, that we begin to think that I am not worth as much as I once was worth. You see, damaged goods are discounted. Damaged goods are products that have been broken, that they have been scratched, that they have been cracked, that there has been devastation that has taken place within that product's life. Many times, because of the brokenness and because of the cracks or because of the defects that are a part of that item's life, they are offered at a discount rate. Their original value is decreased. They are not worth what they once were worth due to the damage, due to the defect that has been a part of their life. I want you to understand, though, here today, we are not the only ones that have ever failed. We are not the only ones that have ever fallen short of the glory of God. David, within the Bible, that it says that he was after the Lord's own heart. God loved David, and David loved God. But David was not a perfect individual. David abused his position, committed adultery and murdered. He lied unto God and lied unto the people. But if you will notice with me, God still loved David. Is God's love any reason to continue in sin? God forbid. Is his mercy any reason to continue in sin? God forbid. But you cannot say that just because there was a failure that God doesn't love you any longer. Why? Because nothing can separate us from the love of God. Why am I preaching about this morning? Because I feel that there is somebody within this house that needs to understand that God is not discounting you and throwing you along the wayside. And just because you've had some defects, that he's given up on you, because my Bible says different. You cannot trust what your mind says. You have to trust what this Word of God says. And the Word of God says, nothing nothing can separate us from the love of God. The Word of God says, though height nor depth can separate us, the Word of God says, I will not give up on a bruised reed. Will I not break on a smoking flax? Will I not quench? The Word of God says that God purchases the broken and the discounted and the damaged. And we have come into this place this morning, and I thought for a moment in time, because whenever you are in that place within your mind, you feel like you're the only one that is dealing with the situation that is going on to you. You feel like you are an outcast. You feel like you're the only one that is struggling or has a problem. Folks, I want to make you known of this right now. The greatest surprise of people that are dealing with things that are imperfect is that there are others that are dealing with the same things alongside of them. Folks, right now, I want you to understand you're not the only one that is dealing with the thought process in your mind. You're not the only one that has a struggle within your mind. There are others in this house right now. I don't want you to close your eyes. If you're not perfect this morning and you have dealt with feeling like you are worth less than what you feel that you are worth, you say, because of my failure, I'm worth less. Because of my mistake, I'm worth less. I want you to really be real this morning. I want you to raise your hand. I'll be the first one that admits it this morning. I want you to raise your hand right now and say, if you are feeling it right now, if you are feeling at this point, I'm not worth as much as somebody next to me. I'm not worth as much as Pastor Pugh because I've got too many mistakes in my past. I want you to raise your hand if you feel some semblance of that way. And the Lord is coming through and saying, you can't go forward thinking that you're not worth anything. You can't go forward thinking that you are not my prized possession. You can't go forward into what I desire to do for you thinking that you're worth less than what you are. I want to explain something to you this morning. Because value is based not off the worth. Hear me. This is the rule of economics. Value is not based off the worth of an object. It doesn't matter if an object is worth $500. It doesn't matter what the worth is to determine the value. It can be worth $500, but the rule of economics is what it sells for is what it's worth. So if you got a product that's worth $500 and it only sells for $50, it's only worth $50. That's it. It doesn't matter. See, my dad, you mind if I talk like this? My dad is funny. He thinks everything is worth $1 million. He said, I'm going to have another auction in the house, make some money. I said, how'd the last two auctions go? He said, I lost everything. I said, why? He said, well, they wouldn't pay nothing for any of that stuff. He said, and I wasn't just going to give it away. I said, Pop, how much do you think that couch right there is worth? They've had it for about 12 years. He said, $400 or $500 at least. I said, Dad, how much did you pay for it? I thought you only paid $300 or $400 for it. How's it worth $400 or $500 now? It doesn't appreciate, Pop. He said, well, yeah, I might have paid that for it. I said, the couch is worth $50. If you get the right person, maybe $75. Right? That's all it's worth. Why? Because that's all I'm willing to pay. Amen? Now, let's do it on the flip side. Now, I know you ladies like these expensive purses. Amen? Oh, you guys don't like expensive purses. Okay. I figured I'd at least get some guys saying it. My Lord. Yeah, they like them. No. The $16 one ain't going to, stuff don't fit in that $16 one. We want the one that's $116. You know, that's what it goes, right? Well, my wife's the same way. It's all right, Brother Shay. My wife's the same way. It's all right. We're in the same boat alongside of one another. And you know, in that purse, since, can I just use him if that's all right? Since he has already dug his grave this morning, and he is only digging it deeper right now. My wife ain't here, bro. You got to learn. You got to learn. Mine ain't here, so I can talk all I want to like this. You know, Brother Chuck, there's only about $20 worth of leather in that purse. Maybe $12. Let's not get crazy. Maybe $11.86 is what is really the amount of leather that is in that purse, right? But when you and I walk up and we give $116 for that same ignorant purse, we have now determined that the purse is not worth $11.86. Why? Because the rule of economics is this. Whoever pays the price sets the value. So when you and I walk up and pay $116 for that purse, we are saying at that point, it is not worth $11.86, but it is worth $116. Are you with me this morning? You got to understand something this morning. When God died on the cross, he purchased us with the blood of his salvation. Are you with me now? Oh, what are you talking about, Brother Carney? That means it doesn't matter how much I was worth before, the Lord purchased me with his blood. I'm not worth what I once was worth. Now I'm worth what he says I'm worth. I'm worth what he says I'm worth. Jeremiah, when the Lord was determining within Jeremiah's life what he would do, Jeremiah didn't understand the heartbeat of God. Why? Because it's very simple to say we have judgment upon us. It's very easy to say we did this, now we get this. Amen. And so the Lord is not that God that sits on a throne that just throws out judgment unto us. He's not that kind of God. He's not a God that just sits there and condemns us, or the moment that we make a mistake, or the moment that we have something go on within our life, he doesn't just throw the clay away. Amen. And so God says, you want to know my heart unto my people, Jeremiah? He said, you can't know my heart unless you go down to the potter's house. And so Jeremiah goes down to the potter's house. He walks in the door and sees there a man, a potter, working a work up on the wheel. And as Jeremiah looks and observes what is going on at that point, he sees within the hand of the potter that clay begin to wobble, or it begin to fall on one side, a defect, a thinness, something, too much water, not enough water. But whatever the reason was, that piece of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. Normally, in my mind, I say that's rule for disqualification. How many of you think the same manner? If they mess up once, it's rule for disqualification. They are no longer able to stand in the same manner of which they stood. They are no longer able to operate in the manner of which they once used to operate. But Jeremiah started seeing something amazing take place. Because as the Lord had directed him to stand there, Jeremiah sees that as that clay began to be marred, it wasn't pushed off the potter's wheel. But the Bible says that Jeremiah witnessed and saw that the potter made it again unto another vessel. And as Jeremiah sees the process of which God desired to work with Israel, the Lord spoke to him and said, as this potter has done to the clay, so I desire to do to the nation of Israel. Folks, we got to get it in our mind. God hasn't given up on us. God isn't throwing us away to start anew, but he's taken what we've got. And I believe that there are individuals here this morning that you have stopped your forward progress because of the trip, because of you tripping along the way. And this morning there is a Spirit of God. The song that y'all sang to heal the brokenhearted and bless the broken. I was listening to that in my prayer time earlier this morning and weeping because I was saying, God, let your Spirit come in and begin to heal. Let a mindset of discouragement be broken this morning by your Spirit, God. Let there be freedom within a mind and a heart of somebody that's been saying, I'm not valuable any longer. If you have been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ has been applied to your life, and you're not worth what you once were worth. You're worth the precious blood. Why? Because that's what was paid for your life. That's what was paid for your soul. I want you to close your eyes and lift up your hands right now. And I want you to begin in your mind, those of you that had your hands raised, that said, there's times that I allow it to get into my mind that I'm not worth as much because of my failures. And because of my shortcomings, and because of the places I've tripped along the way. Oh, I want you to lift up your voice right now all across this place. I want you to allow the Spirit of the Lord to begin to come into the heart that is bruised and say, I'm not going to break the bruised. I'm not going to discount the bruised. I'm going to take that bruise. I'm going to wrap it up within my love and within my mercy and cause it to be whole again. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Somebody come to the piano, just play there softly for a little bit. My mother used to shop at Aldi's. Y'all have Aldi's here? No Aldi's? Thank your lucky stars. We had Aldi's. It was the discount grocery store. It was the discount grocery store. Did you hear me? Discount. It wasn't Walmart. Walmart was already discounted enough, but that wasn't good enough for Mama. She went to the discount grocery store. And I remember walking into that Aldi's grocery store. I don't know if y'all remember this, but in the middle of the store, they would have a big old bin. And inside that bin, they had all of the canned goods that had got knocked around a little bit. Y'all remember that? Now, some of them had labels and some of them didn't, but they were cheap. They were real cheap. And Mama would say, she would go over to that discount bin and she'd start picking through it. And I always wondered why we couldn't just buy the Jolly Green Giant green beans. You know what I'm talking about. As a kid, man, I wanted to go home with the Jolly Green Giant green beans. I didn't want to go home with canned good roulette. You didn't know what you were going to open up when you opened up that can. It sounds like plums. It sounds like green beans. You don't know what it is. The label's missing, but it was 29 cents. And so Mama would get those. And I said, Mom, I remember asking her one time, why can't we buy the canned goods from the shelf? She said, oh, baby. She said, because these over here are cheaper, but they're just as good. She said, instead of being $1.99, they're 69 cents over here. And as I began to play that story within my mind, I felt the Lord stop me and say, make sure that they realize that I don't discount the damaged. Make sure that they realize that even though they've been kicked around a little bit and they've been a little rough for the wear and they might be missing things within their life, make sure they understand that because of their condition, their price did not go down. Why? Because he paid one price. And that was the blood that he shed on Calvary. Make sure they realize that it doesn't matter what condition they're in. I paid the price of blood for their life. It does not matter what the world says they're worth. It doesn't matter what their own minds lie to them and tell them that they're not worth as much as what they once were. Don't allow them to think that thought process. Why? Because it's the purchaser that sets the value. And because I determined that they were valuable enough for blood. And not just determined. Because you can say something's worth whatever you want to say that it's worth until you pull the money out of your pocket and you put it on the table. That's when it's established. It was worth what you said it was worth. And when God died on the cross of Calvary, he not only just said it, but he showed it. And he established it within the hearts and minds of individuals. I want you to close your eyes this morning. Because even though I'm in church, even though I've graced these pews, and even though I know most of what's going on, I've had some mistakes in my life, and I've had some failures. But in order to go forward, in order to move into what God is preparing and building within this place, you've got to move out of that discount mindset. You've got to move away from the thought processes that have been lying to you. You've been lying to yourself. You've been comparing it and saying, it only makes sense that I'm not worth as much as I once was. It only makes sense that this is who I am now. But the Word of God says different. The Word of God says, nothing shall separate us from the love of God. Nothing. This morning, every eye closed. Oh God, reach through every hardness, God. In the name of Jesus, I know that you want to move within the hearts of individuals. God, I know right now that your spirit is beginning to move and trying to free the minds and free the hearts of your precious people. God, I know that it is your hand that is reaching onto the inside and saying, no, that you're worth more than what you thought that you are. No, that you have been purchased, that you have been bought, and I have set your value. Damaged, but not destroyed. Damaged, but not destroyed. I feel that there's some minds here. Every eye closed. If you feel like you've been damaged, I want you to raise your hand across this place. There are multiple individuals right now that have your hand raised. There's things that has taken place within you. Like, keep your hand up. And if you will allow me, there's too many people here. You won't be embarrassed. But I want you to open up your eyes and I want you to look around right now. I want you to see the rest of the hands that are up right now. Have you seen the others that are saying, you know what? I've allowed something to get into my spirit. I've allowed my failure to dictate to me. And I've allowed the mistakes to dictate to me who and what I am. Look at the other ones that are feeling the same way. Close your eyes again, and I want you to stand to your feet all across this place. If your hand is raised this morning, if your hand's raised, we're all home folks here, but I want you to step out of your pew right now, and I just want you to come, and I want you to stand along the front. There were multiple ones that had your hands raised. What I think that is beautiful is the Lord is taking the time to say, don't get hung up. Don't get hung up in a place. Don't get hung up in a place where you begin to think that you're less than what I have given for you. Keep on coming wherever you are. If you need to sit on the front row, or the first couple of rows, go ahead. But I want you to come up here, those that had their hands raised, and just move a little bit closer to the altar. If you don't mind, just scoot up. I want to have enough room for everybody else to begin to step in here. The rest of the church body, if you don't mind, now that these that are up here, I want you to help us pray. And I want you to just step out of your pews, the rest of the church body. And I want you to just come up here and stand behind these that have come up here and are lined up along the front. Just come out wherever you are and just stand behind these that are up here. That's it. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to lift up your hands. That's it, honey. That's it, sis. It's a point in time. What do you want us to do, Brother Carney? It's not what I want you to do. It's what he wants to begin to perform right now. And those moments that have stolen away years from your life, and those moments that have set a thought pattern of unworthiness in your mind, you've got to judge that. You've got to take every thought into captivity this morning and judge it off the word of God. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God. The love of God is accessible at every moment. A bruised reed will he not break, and a smoking flax will he not quench. A blinded eye will he not leave alone. Unto them that sit in darkness, he shall bring deliverance. I want you to lift up your voices right now, all across this place, every voice lifted up. And what we're going to do in the next few moments is we're just going to give in to the Spirit of God that is flowing within us. And we're getting ready to just lift up our voices and begin to pray out loud in the Holy Ghost and allow there to be a God that begins to move within our hearts all over again.
For